Well, today's scripture will be taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If you'd like to turn there, and as you turn there, a quick review of where we've been. We've seen that this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And Paul knows that he is nearing the end of his life, and so he has some things on his heart that he wants to impress upon Timothy. And so he says, Timothy, I am so grateful for you. And Timothy, I pray that you would, if at all possible, that you could come and see me at least one more time before I'm called home to glory. And Timothy, when I think of you, I am reminded of your tender heart. And I'm reminded of your sincere faith that you have. And so after Paul shares his heart, if you will, he now wants to give Timothy some words of counsel, some words of instruction. And this is what we'll find today in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Paul begins by saying, for this reason. Well, for what reason? The reason being, Paul had seen Timothy's faith. He knew Timothy. He said, Timothy, I know that your faith is real, it's genuine, it's sincere. Timothy, in light of your faith, would you do this thing? What does he say? Would you fan into flame the gift of God? Before we look at that phrase, fan into flame, I want to look at the second part of that, the gift of God. What does Paul mean there when he says the gift of God? Is he talking about salvation or something else? Because we know that salvation is called the free gift, isn't it? It's a gift of God. I think Paul is referring to something else here when he says the gift that was in Timothy. He would go on to say, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We get a little bit more insight into this. If we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, let's look at that scripture. 1 Timothy 4:14. Again, Paul writing to Timothy, he says this, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." We get a little bit of a bigger picture there, don't we? It was not only Paul, but it was the elders who laid their hands on Paul. And there was a prophetic message over Timothy that he would do what? As we look at the context of this verse, we back up one verse to 1 Timothy 4:13. Let's read that, and we get the context of this gift. Paul said, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." And then he would say, do not neglect your gift. It seems that the gift that Paul is referring to here is the gift of preaching, the gift of teaching that Timothy would have and would use. And Paul wanted Timothy to use that gift. The Bible tells us that teaching is a spiritual gift. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in light of this gift, Paul says to Timothy, I want you to do this. I want you to fan the flame. I know that many of you, like me, like to have a good old-fashioned campfire. Can I get an amen? Right? The fire. We got some fire goers here. And you can picture the scene, can't you, when you start a campfire. You may start out with a little newspaper and some small twigs, and then you put on the bigger stuff. But as you light the newspaper and you get that fire rolling a little bit, sometimes what happens, the flames begin to lessen a little bit. And so what do you have to do? You go grab the gas can, right? And you, no, don't, kids, don't try that at home. Please don't say the pastor told me to put gas on the fire. Don't do that. Even though I may do that at the time. What you may have to do is you may have to go, And you blow on it, or maybe you wave your hand, you fan the flame, you bring some oxygen in. Why do you do that? So the flame will get a little bit higher, and maybe it'll get a little bit hotter, the heat will Go around so that the other stuff will eventually catch and you'll have a nice big old campfire and you can roast some marshmallows and eat some s'mores. That's what you want. You want that fire hot. You want it flaming. And so Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you have a gift in you. There's a fire in you. Don't let that fire go down. Don't let it dampen at all. When you think of Timothy, he was against great opposition. There was false teachers. There was persecution. There were those who hated the gospel of Christ. And Paul says to Timothy, hey, you need to fan that gift into flame. Keep using it. Exercise your gift, Timothy. And as you exercise your gift, you will burn brightly for the kingdom of God. And how could Timothy do this? How could he fan this gift into flame? Really, this is where verse 7 comes into play. Back in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, Paul said, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Paul there lists some do's and some don'ts. There's one don't and three do's, and we want to look at those briefly. The one don't was this: don't give way to fear, Timothy. Don't give way to fear. God did not give you a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear. If there's fear, that's not of God, is what Paul would tell Timothy. Many have read this verse and said that Timothy must have been very timid, maybe shy, maybe introverted. And that's very possible. That may have been kind of his makeup or his personality. But when you think about the overall context and how Timothy was persecuted for the gospel, and at this point in time, Christians were being persecuted intensely for the gospel, where was Paul when he wrote this? In prison. Why? Because he preached the gospel, he taught the word of God. Some of the original 12 had been killed. Why? Because they preached the gospel and they taught the word of God. Many believers had suffered either through death or persecution by simply preaching the word and sharing the word of God. And so this was where Timothy was at. Let me ask you, if you knew that preaching the word or sharing the word of Christ with someone would mean you might lose your life, or at the very least, beaten to a pulp, would you have any fear? I think we would. Whether we're an introvert or an extrovert, really doesn't matter. We're going to be a bit afraid. And so Paul says, Timothy, don't go there. Don't be afraid. You're called to a task. Fulfill that task. The word here is also could be translated a coward, kind of a coward. And the context sometimes this word is used in is in a military context where you're a soldier and you're going to battle and you know that your life is in danger and the enemy looks huge and you just want to run away and hide. You just want to retreat. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, don't retreat. There's a call to duty here. God has given you a gift. He's called you to do it. Fulfill it. Exercise it. Don't be afraid. Be the man, Timothy, is what he says. Be strong and be courageous. That was the don't. How about the do's, the three do's? We see that Paul says God has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Most of your Bibles probably have that word spirit with a small s. Does anybody have a capital S there? I know sometimes there's debate about whether that spirit should be the spirit of a man or the Holy Spirit with a capital S. And people will debate that. It really, either way is fine because it's clear that Paul is teaching this. These three things come from God. They don't come from us. They come from God. This power, this love, and this self-discipline. Let's look at these three. The first is power. First is power. What does the Bible say about the power of the Holy Spirit? Is there a direct correlation between power and Holy Spirit? Absolutely. What does Jesus say in Acts 1:8? Let's look at that, a very familiar verse. Acts 1:8, Jesus had died, he rose again, and he's about to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And he says this to his disciples. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus told his disciples that there would be this power that would come upon them. And as we read the scriptures, we find that the Holy Spirit is not just some abstract force, like the wind that just kind of blows us around. But the Holy Spirit is personal. And the Holy Spirit lives inside, he dwells inside every believer. Why does God implant the Holy Spirit within his people? Why? So that we might ultimately glorify him through the gifts that he's given us, and ultimately through the fruit that we bear in our lives. Fruit like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. All these things come from the power of the Holy Spirit who resides in us as believers. And really, this is what Paul is getting at when he says God has given us a spirit of power and of what? And of love. Secondly, he says love. How could Timothy continue to preach the gospel and teach the word of God in the face of great opposition? One way is simply through love. How so? Because as Timothy knew his call to preach and to teach, he was also called to do it out of love. Timothy needed to be willing to risk his life out of a love for people, a willing to sacrifice out of a love for people, a willing to lay it all out there, to deny himself because of love. And the love that I'm talking about, of course, is not a human-based, superficial, conditional love. The love that says, you know what, I'll love you, but I want something back. The love that is being spoken of here is the agape. It is the unconditional love of God that we ought to have for others. It is a supernatural love that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit who God implants in us as his people. The third thing that Paul says is self-discipline. This word is also translated self-control or sound mind. A phrase that we use nowadays is the phrase level-headed. Did you ever hear that? Someone's level-headed. This is kind of the idea of the word. Paul is saying, Timothy, don't freak out. That's what this word means. Have a good head on your shoulders. As we get to chapter 4, Paul is going to say this to Timothy. Timothy, keep your head in all situations. No matter what you're going through, Timothy, keep your head. Relax. Think through things and use good judgment. Have a disciplined mind. Well, how could Timothy do this when I'm sure at times he felt like his world was just spinning out of control? The word is trust. Timothy needed to trust in God. That everything that happened to Timothy passed through the hands of God. And so he could be level-headed as he trusted in his God. He would have to say, God, I may not understand it all, and some things are difficult and painful. And there are times when I just say, Lord, I have no idea what's going on, but Lord, I'm just going to keep my eyes on you. I'm not going to get razzled and frazzled. I'm going to trust in you. This is the idea behind this word, self-discipline or sound mind. Well, how does all this apply to you and I today? You may be sitting there thinking, well, you know what? I'm not a pastor or a teacher. So how does this relate to me? And even if I am a pastor or a teacher, I've never been threatened with my life. No one's ever said, yeah, you say that, I'm going to cut your head off. Never face that. So how does all this relate? Well, there's great application really to all of us today. And number one is this. Each of us ought to fan into flame the gift or the gifts that God has imparted to us as believers. And you may be thinking, but I don't think I have a gift. Wrong answer. You have a gift. If you are in Christ and you belong to Jesus, then you have a spiritual gift. You have something that can be used for the body of Christ to edify and strengthen the body. Well, what are some of the gifts that we hear about? We heard some this morning out of 1 Corinthians 12 that Rich read. Let's look at some more out of Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 6 through 8. We find some more mentioned, and certainly this is not exhaustive. There are many gifts that are not mentioned in the Word of God. Paul says here, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There's quite a few gifts that are mentioned there. And I think many times as Christians, we can struggle with this idea of spiritual gifts. Why is that? Well, a couple reasons. Number one is this, is because normally, typically, God does not do this. He does not say, Joe, up there in the booth, your spiritual gift is mercy. And Joe's like, oh, thank you, God. I was wondering what my gift is. Thank you for sharing that. Typically, that's not how God does things, does he? Has anyone heard the voice and told you? I don't think so. So it's kind of, we have to kind of figure it out in a sense. And secondly, when we look at a lot of the gifts, we find that many of them are commands to all believers, aren't they? Encouraging, we're all supposed to encourage. Giving, we're all supposed to give. Serve, we're all supposed to serve. Mercy, we're all supposed to show mercy. So we may have a gift, but we think, well, isn't this what everybody's supposed to do anyway? And yet it may be a gift for you that God wants you to fan into flame. A couple things just to keep in mind as you may wonder, well, I'm not really sure what my gift is. I know we could talk a lot about this, but two things to keep in mind is this. As you begin to obey the Lord and serve the Lord and read his word and put it into practice, as you do things for the Lord, ask yourself a couple questions. Number one, when I do things, do I have to really incredibly rely upon the power of the Spirit to do what I do? Is there a real deep trust in the Spirit? And secondly, is what I'm doing, do I see it edify and strengthen the body of Christ? Is it something that God kind of wants me to focus on? Then that is likely your gift. There's a gifting there as God kind of directs you in that area. Maybe it's service, maybe it's giving, whatever it might be. But I think God reveals that to our human spirit as we begin to walk and as we begin to serve and as we begin to do things for the Lord. He lets us know what that is. And so whatever your, quote, gift is, know this, you need to and I need to fan it into flame. We don't want that gift to get smaller. And yes, there are things that come upon us. There's wet wood at times, isn't there? That seeks to just dampen our flame. And God would say, oh no, fan that into flame. I've given you that gift, whether it's service. If it's service, then get busy serving God. If it's teaching, then prepare and pray like there's no tomorrow. Whatever it might be, if it's giving, then don't let this world harden your heart in that area. Because maybe you've been burnt a couple times. Continue to give. Fan that into flame. And as we exercise this gift, we do so with a deep trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are to keep a level head. But also, the final thing is we are to do so in love. And this is so key, to do things in love. You know, I can't say this. I can't say, well, I have the gift of teaching. Therefore, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to study, I'm going to do my best to explain the scriptures to the body of Christ, and yet not have any love for my hearers. This is what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. We often hear that verse, for that passage at weddings, maybe on Valentine's Day in a card to your spouse. Love is patient, love is kind. But the context is spiritual gifts. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to start in 1 through 3. Paul says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, spiritual gift, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, again, gift of giving, and surrender my body to the flame, sacrificial life, but have not love, I gain nothing, is what Paul says. If we seek to manifest the gift without love, it is really meaningless in the eyes of God. Let me ask you, what motivates you to exercise your gift? For many of the Corinthians, their motive was pride. That was their motive. They would boast about their gifts. They would say, hey, you know what gift I have? Hey, Mike. Mike. I've got the gift of healing. Now, Bob, he's just got the gift of service. Anybody can scrub a toilet for Jesus, you know what I'm saying? But I can heal. This was the attitude of Corinth. My gift is healing. My gift. Did I tell you that, Mike? It's my gift. Let me share with you my gift. It was pride. So Paul says, no. No, the greatest, most excellent way to demonstrate the gift is through love. And how do you love? He tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Are these things evident in your life as you look down that list? The patience, the kindness. Are those things there as you exercise your gift? If not, then you need to and I need to recheck my motives. If I'm being very impatient as I teach, I need to check my motives because I'm not acting in love. If I'm easily angered with you all as I preach, I'm not motivated by love, am I? Love is patient. Love is kind. Let me ask you a question. If we're seeking to edify ourselves rather than the body, then our, quote, ministry is hollow. That wasn't really a question. That was a statement. Let me give it to you again. If we are seeking to edify ourselves rather than the body, then our, quote, ministry is hollow in the eyes of God. It may look good in the eyes of men, but when we stand before God and he tests our motives, he'll say it was hollow. It was hollow because there was no love. Oh, great gifting, no love. I pray that we would be empowered by God's Spirit as we minister, as we seek to edify, strengthen the body, and that we would do so in a spirit of love. As we close today, the final thing to keep in mind is that none of us can be empowered by the Holy Spirit if we do not have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Bible is very clear that if anyone does not belong to Christ, then the Holy Spirit does not dwell within them. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are void of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not dwell in you. And so I ask each of you today, have you taken that first step? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins and believed that Jesus, when he went to the cross, he had you in mind and he bore your sins. He paid your punishment. He was buried. He rose again. On the third day, he reigns on high right now as King and Lord, and he's coming back again. And he says to all of us, believe in me. Trust in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And when we come to Christ, then the Spirit takes up residence in our lives. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, takes up residence. That is just such an awesome, sweet thing, that God would reside in us. It's a marvelous mystery, but it's the truth. Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you today? I pray that you do. And if you're not sure and you have questions, please talk with me about how you can know Christ and know that the Spirit can live in you forever. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for the words of your servant Paul and his heart for just to see young Timothy not get discouraged in this battle called the Christian life. Father, we thank you for his heart to just want to see Timothy fan his gift into flame. And God, my prayer is that each of us here today, as believers, that we would fan that gift into flame, whatever it might be. Oh God, help us to do so in a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. Lord, help us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit as we exercise the gifts that you've given us. Help us never to take pride in the gifts that come from you, Lord. We have nothing apart from you and without you. Everything we've been given has come from you. So, Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to realize that everything we have is from you, and it's for your glory, and it's for the building up of the kingdom and your saints. So, Lord, help us to understand that and live that out in our lives. And, Lord, now as we take some time to remember the death of Christ and what he came to do, and just the joy that we share together when we think about his death, Lord, I pray that you would just make it afresh to us today. May we be reminded of the great price that was paid so that we could be forgiven and set free and saved. Oh Lord, may your Spirit reign in our hearts now as we do this together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.